The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till one today. Tomorrow, it's all about Glenfaber and Peel as the final constituency Man in Line is going to be on with MHK's Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crook. Also, if you want to talk about Glenfaber and Peel, you got something specific you'd like to mention or bring up about what's happening in the constituency, then you can either leave a message on the answer phone, 682603. You can email me out of hours, maninline at manxradio.com, or call tomorrow morning. Just take a potluck tomorrow morning with Kate and Tim. Let's get to the lines first of all today. And David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I just want to bring back the old subject after TT and the spate of little vandalism that's happening on the island again, and the cost that it is to either the local authority and indirectly all the ratepayers on the island, whichever local authority area you're in. And I just wonder whether we should bring back and ask the chief constable sometime to come in and say, you know, how does the TT go? What is plans for the future? And would he like to introduce again? We have these Eastern Neighbourhood teams, and which includes Douglas and Onken there, is to say to them, how are they communicating with the community? How the community are communicating with them? And are we getting anywhere on, which could be minor little issues, but sometimes in people's minds and people who are living in their homes and so forth, becomes an absolute nuisance. Even the likes of heavy goods vehicles, which have gotten still in Belgravy Road, we seem to change them over. When one gets carted away, and the one did go with a parking ticket on it because somebody said he'd give it to somebody else, and at least the DOI put a ticket on it, and within a week it was towed away. Now that's down to the expenses, isn't it? So the DOT have actually dragged it away,
yeah,
and costed I don't know whether it's going to go to auction. It looks a wreck anyway, to tell you the truth. And the other thing that really annoys me is when you bring something to the police's attention is where a vehicle in Howe Road, I'm going to mention it, not where it totally is, but it's on Q plates. It's on false number plates. And the police have been aware of it now for 6 months and not doing anything about it. Now, that's you or me, and you running around on your sports car with, it's a Q plate. It doesn't even say man or it's M-E-N. It doesn't even have the Manx symbol on. And it's frustrating the residents of the area who have asked for support from me as a local authority member. I've seen a load of people regarding it. And where this person has vehicles which extend onto the footpath,
yeah,
which is causing difficulties. And I know you, I had you once up there, and it's still there. So
I wonder, and again, the public one, particularly anybody who lives in Howe Road, and they're not cheap, yeah, houses. So people will wonder, they pay their rates, and they'll wonder, why is this happening? Now, we're not going to personalise it, but let's just say, if somebody is causing an obstruction, whose responsibility is it? Who's got the lever to pull that will get rid of that obstruction? Is it the local authority? Is it the police? Is it the department?
Yeah, we don't, as a local authority, and I'm speaking as an individual now, not on behalf of the local authority, we don't have the powers because we're not warranted. You've got to be a person that's got a warrant to say, like the traffic wardens, God bless them all, who ticketed the motorcycles on TT week, and I thought that was a bit not right, but the law is the law, isn't it? So regarding the issue regarding this one that's been on, in my opinion, false plates, it's down to the police. If you draw something to somebody's attention who's an authoritative organisation, whether that's the DOI or the police, And maybe you could ask Mr. Krukel tomorrow on my behalf or the thing, what's happened to the thing about commercial vehicles, heavy goods vehicles, and parking in residential areas or home zones?
Okay, the specific, you know, so specifically, there's a vehicle on queue plates on Howe Road in Onchan.
Yes. Okay. And it's been there 6 months. It's outside a person's house. I know that another person across the road has, and I'm not mentioning the name, but is disabled. They have difficulty getting out of the driveway. It's been drawn to highways and the police, their attention. And I don't know why they can't do it, because when they did over TT Week, a number of people who had these fancy plates that don't comply with the law, and the police have got access to the computer in Wales, which you look it up, it doesn't exist or doesn't have any current tax disc. You know,
and the issue being also here, David, is if there are obstructions, let's speak generally, if there are people who are parking vehicles and leaving them there for months and nothing is done about it, then the people who live around kind of shrug their shoulders, roll their eyes and think, well, there's nothing we can do about it and nobody cares anyway. And surely that's, we shouldn't be fostering that sort of attitude.
No, and that's the issue I've got. What I call it is early intervention. And with the criminal damage that's happened to seats, I know have happened in Onchan recently, and the ones in Douglas, which is on social media there, seats which were bought by individuals in memory of their families. You know, we need to educate. I'm not saying it's always the youth, but 99% it is. And why would you want to smash the arms off a seat which people can sit on and look out to sea and enjoy the steam packet coming in? And just quickly, and I'll go then, is praise to the steam packet. I talked to at least 20, 30 people camping in Blackberry Lane from Germany, Italy, Ireland, England, all down. First time people coming here. The boat was great. And they always said to me, why did you have balconies on the cabins? Well, I said, maybe it's because we bought a boat which was generic. But they loved it. They loved the Isle of Man. And we're not punching above our weight when we're talking about the next event coming on. I forgot. The fella, German fella told me, oh, you're having a scooter rally shortly. I'd forgot all about that.
When's the scooter rally?
Yeah, scooter rally. So there must be people on the Isle of Man who are into scooters. And I didn't notice a lot of scooters. I don't know whether you noticed when you were going around too. There are a lot of scooters coming about because they're quite powerful machines. And not only bikes, and they all integrate. And it's maybe a more mature motorist that's got scooters. But a lot of them bring them on the camper vans, hook them off and run around the island, and they safely park. And when you talk to people who are from across who have big motorhomes, they say they always park considerably, especially when they're in another country or somewhere else.
Okay, all right. Thanks, David.
All right, mate. See ya.
All right, good to hear from you. And let's go to Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? You
good,
okay, Andy?
Yeah, good,
thanks. I've just been through Dave's constituency, actually, up in Onchan. It's the rain is coming down quite lashing it, really.
It is here as well, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, okay. It was just a bit of housekeeping on the Manx Radio website itself. I was just thinking in terms of external applications. I know that you've taken up a lot of podcasts on Spotify. I was just wondering, just as a note, it's something that could be taken up. If the website itself, because a lot of people log on to it and have a look at the news, if somewhere on there, or maybe one of the home pages, it had a link to just manxradio.com/Spotify, a link to where they're based on Spotify itself, it would help tremendously.
Okay, so just tell me that you want a link on the website straight through to Spotify to Manx Radio podcasts.
Well, they're all individual, aren't they? Everyone's an individual.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, yeah,
all 80 of them, Robert. 80 podcasts, I think we've got. 80 series.
Well, have you really?
Yeah. There are millions
That's
of them.
Lot.
Yes, I know. There are loads of them.
All bulletproof.
You'll be there okay. all night long. All right, I'll pass that through to our webmaster, okay?
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. The sky is alive with planes, says MW. And if we're being drenched, why aren't they doing it over countries that are so hot, fire start crops? Is this, I don't know, MW, are we onto this seeding the clouds with what have you? I think we've never needed that before, so I probably haven't got it now. Why is it since the government took over the steam packet, on taxpayers' behalf, we have a far less efficient but more expensive service, says David. In which way? I mean, it's fairly efficient nowadays, isn't it? I mean, the Manxman goes twice a day to Heysham. The Mananan is zipping here, there and everywhere. There have been occasional problems before under the previous owners. But anyway, do people need planning permission for a campsite on their land, says Tony on 384. Anybody know? I wouldn't have thought you'd just start a campsite. A text, email, call and WhatsApp. A Q plate means accident, damaged and repaired. It's not a false number plate, says Enid on 716. But I don't know whether you use the UK DVLC in Swansea, but if you stick a Q plate in, does it come up with who owns it? But presumably that's supposed to identify that somebody actually owns it. Or if you put a number plate into DVLC and nothing comes up, surely it doesn't exist. Anyway, if you know more about Q plates, then by all means, tell me. And if you know how to get rid of all those cars parked all over Howe Road, then the residents of Howe Road would love to hear from you. The person on the phone yesterday was right about old age, says Sue. Old age is nice if you're healthy enough to have some enjoyment in life. But just being in an inert body in a shockingly expensive care home bed is not living. I've witnessed quite a few of these when entertaining in care homes. And if it happens to me, then death would be preferable. So these are Sue's words, by the way. Death would be preferable. If things have no hope of improvement, then it should be treated as being terminally ill. Obviously, if the person has chosen to be kept alive, that's fine. But for those who don't want, then surely they should be allowed to choose assisted dying. I'd rather my children have my money to enjoy rather than waste it keeping my shell functioning in an extortionately priced care home. We're back on to assisted dying and the legislation that is wending its way through the clauses stage in Keys. And many people have views on this, so if you want to contribute, then by all means, get in touch. Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Have we got COVID problems on the Isle of Man? Social media apparently is full of comments for people who came to the TT and returned home with COVID. It's certainly around. I mean, I have to tell you, there are two people at Manx Radio who have got COVID at the moment. One not so good, the other one is kind of okay, but it's around. There's no doubt about that. Whatever happened to Manx Radio TT365, or did I imagine that? You didn't imagine it. It came, it went, Big Mike. Why? What are you suggesting? Please don't add the link to Spotify. Lots of other podcast distribution apps, most of them, unlike Spotify, are free, says Jamie. Q-plates means questionable. Is that right? 554? Is that true? Most of the parked cars on Howe Road belong to the staff working at the King Abel Bay office complex. Well, I've had a look, 223. The ones at the top haven't moved for months. So either these people are on a very long shift or we're talking about different vehicles. Certainly, as you go up the road towards Groudle, King Edward Bay, then there are lots and lots of cars parked every day from that particular office block you're talking about. I've always been led to believe, by the way, Q-plate is a kit car, says Emma in Ramsey. Yeah, but it has to be registered to somebody, doesn't it? Mark's on now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Andy. How you doing, fella?
Good, thanks.
Right, a couple of things. What you just said there about cars on Howe Road, I've been told by several people that they do belong to the the people at that complex, because the people at that complex are poker stars, and they employ literally hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Some of who are only over here in a short-term contract, so they need somewhere to park. But if you go around the corner, what's that little estate called with all the very, very expensive houses? Is it Seaview, something or other?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, you go around there as well, and you'll see the cars are all there too. Now, if I was living there, I'd be furious waking up every morning to look at a beautiful view of the Irish Sea and seeing hundreds of cars parked outside my house. I wouldn't be very happy about it.
So it's down to poker stars?
Yes, it's down to poker stars. Poker stars are one of the largest employers on the island without people even knowing about them. It's the same with micro gaming. Everyone's heard of them, but they don't realise just exactly how many people they employ. Micro gaming employ 400 or 500 people. And they've got their own car park, Microgame, and they've got the car park on Westmoreland Road. You know, the one that looks like something from the Soviet era.
Oh, I know. Yes, the one that used to be at the back of the old milk crease.
Yeah, that's theirs. They own that car park there, and that car park's pretty full every day with their staff. But what I wanted to moan about the most is the people who use Tesco's as a free car park. I went down to Tesco's this morning and I couldn't get a parking space. I drove round and round and round for about 10 minutes until eventually I found one. And when I went in the store, there was about 30 people there.
I thought they'd got signs up to say you could only stay there for 2 hours and you had to be shopping at Tesco.
Nope, there's no signs there. And the reason that there's no signs there is because Tesco don't own the site. The site's owned by National Car Parks. And as such, any Tom, Dick and Harry can put their car there and go to work in Athol Street and have a free car park. And I think it's terrible, because eventually it's going to get to the stage where, you know, I mean, Tesco's have invested all this money in the island. We're talking 30, 40 million pounds to, you know, take over the shop rights and what have you. They employ an enormous number of staff. They pay way, way over the odds to get their stuff to the island. We're talking $3,000 for one container each way. So they get a full container coming over, that's $3,000. And then when they send the empty one back, that's another three. Now, if they get five a day, that's £30,000 a day that Tesco's are happily coughing up to keep the Isle of Man in goods. And how do we repay them? By taking advantage of their car parks. I just think it's shocking that there are people out there that just don't care.
Well, you've surprised me, because I don't know. Now I think I'm going insane, because I'm sure I remember signs once upon a time saying you couldn't park there. And I'm sure once upon a time they had people wandering around telling people not to park there.
They did. They had a couple of people that worked in the store going around every day saying to people, you can't park there. And then one day, not this manager that we've got now, Nigel, he's a lovely fella, but the manager before was threatened by a lawyer. And what happened was, he turned around to this lawyer and says, you can't park there. And the lawyer turned around and said, there's not a thing you can do about it. You don't own this car park. And unless National Car Parks tell me otherwise, I'm going to park here. And there's not a thing you can do about it. And when he got in touch with National Car Parks across, and he got in touch with his head office across, he was told quite categorically, no, you don't own the car park, National Car Parks do, and if people want to park there, they can park, and there's nothing he can do about it.
Wow, you've absolutely surprised me, and now you've probably increased the number of people who are going to be parking in there as well, Mark.
I know, but just before I go, Andy, and I love listening to your show, especially when Julian comes on, because my God, that man's full of figures and facts, isn't he? Cue plates.
Yeah.
I was always led to believe a cue plate was when you couldn't determine the age of the car.
Oh.
That's what I was always led to believe. A Q plate, let's say your car was first registered in 1997. A Q plate was when you're not sure if it's 96 or 97 or 98.
Right.
That's what I was always told a Q plate was.
Okay.
But so now you've got 10 different reasons and 10 different answers for a Q plate.
It's a Manx solution to a Manx problem. That's what it is.
Exactly. Make as many as possible, and one of them's bound to be right.
Thanks for calling today.
No problem, fella. Have a good one.
Cheers. Now 26 minutes past 12. Is it only the jabbed who are getting COVID? I'm still considering my first vaccine. Well, I don't know. We don't know at the moment. We've been trying to contact. We have contacted Manxcare to see what the situation is with COVID. But, I mean, it was the last we heard, of course, it was, if you don't feel very well, test if you want. If you've got it and you feel okay, go to the office. We'll find out the official word from Manxcare, shall we? The cars on Howe Road are mostly owned by one person, especially at the top, says Neil in Douglas. Yes, if you go to Howe Road, if you've nothing to do today, you can pop to the top of Howe Road. There are more than a dozen cars parked outside one house, and lots of them have been there for ages. Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Hi there. Afternoon to you. Q plates, strange enough, normally it is because you can't prove how old your car is. Plus kit cars, plus the other reason, is that it's a foreign registered car that's got a sort of like an Arabic registration plate, which obviously you can't read. So they used to get Q plates, so maybe the customs might be interested in that car, see how long it's been in the UK and the Isle of Man. But the next point is rates. Is it only Douglas that don't charge rates on empty properties?
No, I don't think it. I think that's fairly widespread. Why?
Well, it isn't in Peel, seemingly.
Oh, what? So unoccupied properties, dilapidated properties have to pay rates?
Well, in Peel, I was told, not only by the Peel commissioners, but also by the Treasury, who collect the rates on behalf of Peel. But, of course, Douglas... Treasury don't collect Douglas rates. I don't think collect Onken. So I just want. Actually, it's all to do with the Peel Legion.
In what way?
It's empty now. Well, because it's empty now.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
So I made inquiries, being on the committee, and I was told by, well, three different peace sources, yes, you have to pay rates on empty properties.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'd be interested to find out whether it's just Douglas. Is that an anomaly in the system?
All right. Well, we'll find out. We've got the Glenfarne and Peel MHKs in tomorrow, so maybe they know what the situation is in Peel.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Good to hear from you. Kate Lord Brennan, Tim Crookall in tomorrow. Glenfarne and Peel MHK. So if you have any questions about the constituency, if you live in the constituency, you again, silt, sewage, residential development, whatever it is you want to talk about, I mean, at some point, is it inevitable that Peel will join up with St John's? It's in hailing distance at the moment, and the estates continue to be built in and around Peel. So quite what we do with it, what will happen. Wonder if they've got an opinion on what's going to happen to the yacht club as well. I went to Noble's Hospital on Tuesday. Everybody seemed to be coughing, says 381. I was glad to get out. Thanks also to... Oh, we got an issue with the steam packet, by the way. The 3 o'clock Mananan to Liverpool, due to a deterioration in the weather forecast, the 3 o'clock Mananan to Liverpool will leave at 8:30 tonight. Check-in's going to open at 7:15, closing at 8, 8:30. The 3 o'clock Mananan to Liverpool leaves at 8:30. And so the 7:15 returning from Liverpool to Douglas will sail at 12:30. So if you've got somebody coming back, expect them late. Get the kettle on. So the 3 o'clock Mananan to Liverpool now leaving at 8:30 tonight. The 7:15 Liverpool Mananan to Douglas will now leave at 12:30. That'll be interesting in the future because apparently in the lease, in the rules for our new half-tide dock, Princess Half-Tide Dock new sea terminal, there weren't going to be movements after 11 o'clock at night. So what would happen in that instance? Poker stars aren't completely guilty about parking around Douglas Head. The building has hundreds of staff there employed by Upmost as well. Well, you only have to drive there between 8 and 9 in the morning to see the scrabble around for parking spaces. Maybe it's time for a big multi-storey car park where the old Douglas Bay Hotel used to be. Nettie dropped me a note on 842. Apparently Tesco does have signs up about the parking, but, well, we'll see. They are paying a fortune, of course, for importing stuff. Well, and Mark said maybe they should use Manx food instead. get good point, but whether or not you could get the actual amount, but maybe that's a chicken and egg situation. Lots of people are parking in Tesco, and apparently if that person was an advocate, then maybe what he said was true, in that it's not owned by Tesco, so they can't stop anybody parking there. I heard somebody mention website housekeeping. All estate agents need to hear this. Please delete or move property that's sold or not available. Pages of sold property. I got bored, ran out of time looking to buy a property. I'd hate to be on page 10 that nobody ever sees, says Texter 382. Memo to all estate agents listening to us. Is a Q plate is a car that's been crashed and written off by the insurance company, says Fred. Is that so? Well, we have half a dozen different definitions. I remember seeing Q plates on kit cars, and if it's true that you put a Q plate on because you don't know the date of, surely you can get that from the VIN number. Or maybe I'm trying to talk about cars again. I know. The Scooter Rally 2024, says Steve, takes place from Friday 28th to Sunday 30th of June. Two-stroke heaven on Manx Roads with two nights of great entertainment at the Villa. All welcome, says Steve. The Scooter Rally, Lambretta Heaven, is going to be Viva the Vespa, Friday 28th to Sunday the 30th, if you're interested then there. Get your Parker out.
Ride in to H&H Motorcycles.
Hello, I'm Nathan Harrison. For motorcycle sales, service, repairs, tyres, suspension, including upgrades, or full long-term restorations, choose the team that builds race-winning bikes. H&H Motorcycles on South Key Industrial Estate, Douglas.
Now stockists for Arai, Motul and RST. H&H Motorcycles. Your bike couldn't be in better hands.
New builds, renovations, home improvements, commercial and civil engineering projects. Come to the local long-established building company you can trust. Darrell Blake Construction. Well-respected, with over 20 years' experience. Darrell Blake Construction can handle any project, from planning to completion, with a professional yet approachable way of working. For your free estimate, call 435 409 or visit on Facebook to view a wide range of work. Darrell Blake Construction, committed to quality.
Go faster for less with Manx Telecom. Upgrade to our first class fibre and you could save over £200. For a limited time only, you can sign up to a 30 megabit plan and get 100 megabits, or pay for 100 and get 200. Forget economy class internet and experience the luxury of first class fibre. See mt.im/fibre for details, terms and conditions.
Well, everyone agrees this year's TT coverage has been better than ever. But if you want other TT stories, the archive room is where you need to be. We've got excellent communications.
And he was feeding pennies into the slot to keep us going from those particular phone boxes.
Occasional wardrobe malfunctions.
They're absolutely dreadful things, sweltering hot in the summer and freezing cold when you get any water on them at all.
And fixes for any kind of problem.
I grabbed some sods off the hedge, threw them in, and the fire went out.
The TT, but not necessarily as you know it, from the archive room tonight, just after 6 o'clock, here on Manx Radio, or pick up the podcast with extra content in it, available straight after broadcast.
I don't suppose you'd allow it now.
Whoa, hang on, we can't give too much away.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Texter 223 says, a cue plate is issued to a car whose age or identity are in doubt or unverified. The Q in cue plate doesn't stand for anything, strangely. Some people have speculated that the Q stands for queried, questionable, or even quite dodgy, says 223. Or perhaps it stands for Desmond Llewellyn or Ben Wishaw. You never know, do you? The managing director of the steam packet's been responding to Department of Education, Environment, Food and Agriculture concerns that freight costs are putting food businesses off exporting goods from the Isle of Man. Exporting goods. So we spoke to Brian Thompson, who's the managing director of the steam packet.
I wouldn't actually, because I don't think that's the story that the numbers tell. In 2023, you know, we saw over 400,000 lane metres of freight carried. And in Q1 this year, we've seen the figures increase by 7%. So, you know, if the fare was putting people off, then that wouldn't exist. We already offer 300,000 metres at a discounted rate as well. So, you know, there is work ongoing in that field already. I think it's perhaps just not obvious to everybody because it's not something we advertise. We're doing the work in the background, if you like, with the customers. And as I say, these other customers that DEFA were talking about, they haven't come and spoken to me, so they're potential customers that we could be losing, but I'm more than happy to speak to them and put something together for them if we have to.
Well, you've talked there about some of the assistance you already provide to businesses, but do you think with the steam packet being publicly owned, is there a responsibility there to help food producers and other companies when they want to do business off Ireland, or does it, end of the day, have to be a commercial decision for yourselves?
I think it should all be a commercial decision. You know, if you're running a business and you want to export your product, the cost of transport comes into that, wherever you're based. And the realities of it is we are an island and, you know, you will have to use sea transport or air transport to get your product off island. So I think that's a factor that you need to take into account. And really, is it for business to pay for that, or the taxpayer, or somebody else? I mean, there isn't a sort of magic money tree where there's free boats and free fuel and free staff. So everything has to be paid for, and it's just how that's done, really, is probably the question.
Brian Thompson, Managing Director of the Steam Packet. 400,000 lane metres, he talked about, and 7% increase. Got any thoughts on this? Then do get in touch. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just as an answer to the question, is there a sign down? There is. I'm in Tesco car park here now, and the sign has been here for ages. It's actually getting a little bit faded now. That's how old it is. But it says 2 hours free parking. And then a £60 parking charge after the 2 hours. Then it goes on to explain why. But it looks like it's operated by TCP. That's they did have people walking around, but I've never heard of anybody being fined. Simply because, as they say, it is private land and it is not a police matter. It would have to go to a civil court. And even across or even on the private land where they go to these car parks all over, you can park on them, but they would have to take you to court as a civil action, not as a police action, because right. Being private land.
And also, but I've also heard in the past, I think there were some people were at one time or another were trying to get those Denver boot clamps, the wheel clamps on, and apparently they're not legal on the island.
No, and if you damage a car by anything of that ilk, you are liable for it then, because Tesco did have notices they were putting on your windscreen and on the car, and they were adhesive, and they had to stop because of any damage that could have been done to the car that they were liable for, which makes sense. So that stopped. So in essence, they're relying on the honesty of people. And ShopRite did this, and you'll see it's still there. The sign's up in the Onken one, where the village walk is. They made it disc parking. And because they had exactly the same thing of people, three cars coming in, all getting, well, two of them getting out of their cars, parking them up there, leaving them all day, and then one car coming into town. And parking.
I've always wondered about the parking at Village Walk. I mean, that's owned by the Alaman Enterprises, isn't it? The ShopRite, the parent company.
Yep.
So how can they enforce parking discs if it's private land?
Exactly. This is a civil matter as opposed to being a criminal matter. And they did, as I say, down here they had people walking around with the little pads and everything like that, but I never heard of anything getting done. And I can see this sign quite clearly here now. As I say, it's been here for quite a number of years, and the company in the little corner is TCP.
Interesting.
And I assume that's the parking company.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Okay. Thanks, then. Take care.
Good to hear from you. Thanks also to Dennis, who said, crikey, there was a motorhome parked in the corner of the Tesco car park for years. Somebody told me it was one of the shift managers who lived in a static home, in a motorhome. Is that true? I remember seeing there was a filthy old motorhome parked in the court. I just thought the guy just liked parking there, but perhaps they were living in there. It's gone now, anyway. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hiya. You're right, Andy.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. I'll just briefly about four different points. Can't believe for one minute that the swimming pool is not getting the funding that was promised. Absolutely ridiculous, because they'll only get the same thing again. We will demand that it's kept open, keep the promises. They did promise to keep it open until either a new one is built or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just cannot believe that they're trying to.
So do you think they're backsliding?
I can't understand this government in any way, Andy. Be honest with you, I can't understand how they're still there. I just don't understand. I mean, some good news, right? Which is the second topic. Mr. Whittaker's wind turbines refused. Great news. The grounds are, you know, not good for the environment, the look of the place, so on. It's a beauty spot.
This is the one that's at the top of the head at Port Erin, yeah?
That's it, yeah. Lovely beauty spot, Balnahow. But anyway, it's pretty much a beauty spot at Eristain as well, so it's good for our cause that it's been refused. The other thing is, there's a letter in the Examiner this week. It doesn't say who it's by, but I urge people to read it. It is absolutely covering everything that we've been going on for the last 2 years about onshore wind farms. It makes excellent reading. So I'm just asking your viewers, anybody who's, there's not many people who don't think it's bad for the Isle of Man. Who think it's good. But if they're in any doubt, just read that letter. It is an incredible letter.
Who's it from?
We don't know. It's not got a name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to find out, because whoever wrote it is, is brilliant, really. Is saying exactly the same things. Can I remind people while I'm on? I'm away next week. I'm in Scotland, but you've got a presentation at the Legion on the 20th by Paul Burgess.
Yeah.
Right, lots of letters after his name. He knows what he's talking about. And again, if anybody's in doubt of how bad they will be for us, go and listen to him. He's excellent.
Paul Burgess, Eddie's on Man in Line next Thursday.
Good. Yeah, well, he's got a presentation on the 20th at the Legion as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's doing Man in Line at lunchtime. I think he'll be at the Legion in the evening. This is a guy who's been in the climate business since 1970. I think he did a mathematical climate plan in 1971.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows of what he's speaking. Yeah, well, he's going to be on Man in Line next Thursday, so we'll have a chance to chat.
I wish I was here.
All right, thanks, Eddie.
Hang on, I've not finished, Andy. One
okay.
more thing.
Yeah.
On the national news last night, there was a little bit. It was really sad to watch it. It was about an electric bike which went on fire in a house, and the whole family was killed. Right, the wife and the two kids were killed in it. When I was on the boat last. There was 9 electric cars all around me. Now imagine if a fire went on board.
All right. Okay. Good to hear from you, Eddie. Yeah. Thanks for calling today. I want to go to Byron now. Hi, Byron.
Yeah, good morning to you, Andy. Just a quick one with regard to cue plates. The origins actually sits with the UK Licensing Authority, DVLA. Now, the thing is, the registration specification, the air specification, is that to register a car has to conform to certain specifications and requirements. Anything outside those requirements, like a kit car, like a foreign car that has been brought into the country and somebody wants to use it, or an existing car that was of original manufacturer, but the vehicle has been modified in some substantial way, then they were not allowed to register or re-register those vehicles in the normal way, but they were allowed to register with a Q plate number. And quite often, vehicles with Q plates, the sort of market value of them is often less, unless it's something very special. The key question, Andy, really is whether the Manx government have implemented the requirements of the UK DVLA verbatim, or it's rather loosely implemented.
Yeah, I was going to say, anyway, so what's the situation if somebody brings a Q plate car to the Isle of Man? Do they go to the test centre? Does it get a Manx plate? Is there a Manx Q plate or what?
Yeah, I'm not sure of that. But the thing is, something I did miss with regard to Q plates, if you've got a vehicle in the way I just described in the UK, where my belief is that's where it emulated from, then the mandatory requirement was, like here, the vehicle has to be subjected to an engineer's report, obviously, to qualify that it is, in fact, roadworthy. That was always the specification. So if a Q plate comes from the UK and it's a Q plate registered vehicle, in theory that should have complied with that requirement that it was road legal, as rather like the MOT test over there. And our test here at the licensing authority here, I think they run to the same sort of criteria when testing vehicles, Andy.
Okay, all right. Appreciate that, Byron. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure. Bye for now.
All right, thanks for that. A promise, as you may be wondering what Eddie was talking about with the swimming pool. A promise was made for funding to 2030 for the new Southern Swimming Pool, but this has been reduced to next year. Southern Swimming Pool Board says assurances from the Chief Minister have been undermined by this report from the DESC, Department of Education, Sport and Culture. The chair of the Southern Swimming Pool, Lawrence Vaughan Williams, says in April they were told a pool will be built, but new documents say there is a, quote, firm commitment, unquote, to creating a design, which Mr. Vaughan Williams says is not the same. His letter to DESC also says it started emergency planning after a promise was made of funding until 2030, which has now been reduced to next year with an option to extend until 2026. Lawrence Vaughan Williams says the department's not asked the board or management of the pool for input into the design. The updated report into the affordability of regional pools being part of the regional sports hub will be in Tynwald next week. We've contacted the department of Education, Sport and Culture for a comment.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Grill, bake, steam, boil, stir fry, simmer, fry, roast, slow cook, griddle, toast. An Aga can do it all. An Aga isn't just an amazing cooker, it's a way of life. Aga specialist Haldane Fisher can recommend an Aga for every home. Call in store and discover the range and join thousands of owners who love coming home to Aga's warmth, style and practicality. Haldane Fisher for Aga, home to great cooking.
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Ethel, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Ethel!
Ethel, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at ethel.im or call the A-team, 820082.
Imagine waking up to the freshest Manx milk, dairy products and Noah Bakehouse goodies. Now you can start your morning the right way with free doorstep deliveries from the Isle of Man Creamery, delivered fresh overnight and at your door in time for breakfast island-wide. Setting up a delivery is easy. Just head to isleofmancreamery.com or call 632 000. Isle of Man Creamery, crafted to perfection since 1934.
Discover the thrill and passion of motorcycle racing on the Isle of Man with the Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
Such an unbelievable thing to do, to get the chance to ride around the mountain course, and they close the roads for you and encourage you to go as fast as you can. The best thing you could ever have.
Here, motorcycle racers share the highs and lows of racing on the legendary mountain course, get an inside look at their motivation, their challenges, and uncover the dream that drives them.
The minute you let that clutch go, your head goes into the zone it needs to be in, and that's going to be the best experience of my life.
Don't miss out. Find the Journey to a Dream podcast on motorsport.manxradio.com or your favourite podcast provider.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
True, it's one of about 80, 85 by the last count, podcasts available at manxradio.com. Alan said, I don't know about COVID, I used to work in a big petrol station in Douglas. We always called it the biker's flu when they brought it for TT week. And Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I think June might be shaping up to be the coldest June in the history of history, I think.
My word, we've got extreme mist at the moment on the mountain. We've got extreme mist over Onchan.
Yeah, that's extreme mist at sea level, I would imagine. I'll just whiz through a couple of quick catch-ups before my main thing. Beastie was on a while ago talking about £1 notes, if you remember.
Yes, she wanted everybody to get pound notes, Manx pound notes from the bank.
Well, I keep forgetting to say it, but the second that she said that, I went outside, went to a couple of different Isle of Man banks, got a load of them, and one or two places, a petrol station and a shop, were questioning whether they could take them, but the managers all said, yes, you can. So I think it might just be down to the allocation of the note dividers in the tills. Perhaps they just haven't got a little space for the £1 note. So I'm flying the flag for BC on that one. Mentioned yesterday, Laurie Hooper was complaining about the change in the Manx Radio reporting on Ramona Coelho's statement.
Yeah.
I just noticed on X there was a comment that made me laugh underneath, which says, isn't it amazing how enthusiastic Laurie Hooper is to correct others, yet so reluctant to acknowledge any of his own many errors? I thought, you know, quite an interesting little comment underneath there. Swimming pool. Well, Daphne Kane is now DESC, isn't she?
She is.
Right. So when's she on next?
She'll be on, I think, probably, it may be just before the Royal Show or possibly just after.
Right. OK, well, we'll have a chat about why there's a seems to be a reversal in what was a promise. I've noticed in Reuters, ESG scoring companies, namely Sustainalytics, MSCI, which is the largest of all of them, and ESG Book, which is the big European one based in Frankfurt, have been laying off over 12% of their staff, hundreds of staff. And the reason it's relevant is that the Isle of Man government has signed us up to Sustainalytics, which I find interesting. If they're starting to shed staff like mad, this is sort of following the other ESG-related companies like Deloitte and Ernst & Young, who formed the ESG kind of mantra back in the mid to late 2000s. So it makes you wonder. Speaking of ESG and environmental things, that letter that Eddie mentioned earlier is on page 14 of the Examiner. Very knowledgeable chap. I was very interested about the sphagnum moss, which, of course, if you ever walk around Erie Stain, which I've done many times, is everywhere. And the hyaline cells can hold multiple times their own weight in water. So Eddie was one of the first ones to mention about the problem. If you start concreting up there with wind turbine development, all that water's got to go somewhere and you won't have that attenuation anymore. And I seem to remember building control is always about water attenuation if you've got a spring and you have a house in front of you when you're building. So from the point of view of building control, I know that's usually after the fact, but I would have thought that would be a major point. And finally, I noticed finally that Rebecca Meir has made a statement about the meat plant. I was just wondering whether she might want to make a statement from her 8.5 years that she worked at the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, where they are saying that smaller traditional style farms emit 95% less than the IPCC's guesstimate on emissions. So perhaps you can come back on and make a statement about how the Isle of Man farming is highly likely to be something along the lines of olive oil production in terms of emissions.
Interesting. OK. All right. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
All right. And John's with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. Cue plates.
Yeah.
If you've got a 10-year-old car and it has a little bit of damage, I think you'll find that the insurance company will look at it as uneconomical to repair.
Right.
Somebody can then come along and purchase it from the insurance company, for instance, just for spare parts, or at their own expense, they can put it back on the road. But the logbook, as far as I can understand, will be marked as an insurance write-off, and it'll have Q plates.
Ah, I see.
Now, on the mainland, this is, I don't know whether this applies here, but if you look up, for instance, on eBay, cars for sale, sometimes you'll see all the details, but they're marked as, I can't remember the word, as insurance, for instance, A, B, C, or D. Now, that the letters, I don't know how they work. They would identify the amount of repairs that had been done on that vehicle. Otherwise, if it was just minor damage, but the insurance company had written it off, or was it a serious crash?
Okay.
But I think you'll find that's what cue plates signify.
Okay, John, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling us today. We'll put that into the list. So what is a cue plate? Seems like it's whatever you want it to be. Oh, by the way, I've just been told 101 series of podcasts we've got. I know they're breeding. Thanks to Howie Kane on the phones today. Back tomorrow. W-I-N-T.
It's coming to the Isle of Man, and it's gold through and through. Gold never fades. Gold shines. Pure gold. Dreams unfold.